Appreciate it. Jason, you got me up and running. Is the mic on? Okay. I always tell Jason, don't turn the mic on while I'm singing or I'm walking out and you're doing the message. And I never turn it on here until we're almost done too. So I, just in case he wants to test me, I guess. Kind of funny, Katie's up here asking the kids to shout and all their moms and dads have been telling them for years now, shh, right? Don't, be quiet, and sure, now we're talking, asking them to shout. I tell you, following our band is a tough ordeal, but I'm glad that Art and Angela have a chance to get away. Look like, for a few things I saw on Facebook, that they're enjoying their time, and it's good for them to go out and, you know, renew themselves to come back. And I step in, and when I first start to get an idea, it's usually while I'm sitting here listening to singing. And about a month ago, I got an idea for a sermon, and I'm taking notes back there and all that stuff, and I'm thinking, okay, this is going to be the message. And we've had a lot of stuff going on in football this last couple of weeks. Wednesday was our first real downtime for a while, so I said, I'm going to go work on this Wednesday. And God completely changed what I was going to talk about. It's his message. As many of you know, I help with the football team. And I want to talk to you about a young man today that we have on the team. And about 2 weeks ago, we've been going through camp. Football season's a lot different than it used to be. We don't have near as many two-a-days, two practices a day. We only have about a week of that anymore, and you're right into your first scrimmage. But one thing they have let us do is do a lot more camp nights where we can bring in the kids and lift weights and then do football learning things without pads and stuff on, right? You can wear helmets and that kind of stuff, but don't want a lot of the physical stuff. So a lot of times it's a little conditioning, lifting, conditioning, and it gets to be a grind. And this young man, about 2 weeks ago, had kind of reached his limit. And he got mad, and he left. Right in the middle of practice, he said, I've had enough. Now, I know this kid, he's had some issues. He struggled. He and I have talked since then, and he's been struggling with a little bit with home life. With some relationship things, and he's trying to get a relationship with God, but I think he's really struggling with that because I don't think he really has much of a role model at home for that. He has a big tattoo now, tattooed on his arm of the Lord's Prayer, and I thought he's moving in the right direction. But then, you know, he gets mad and he leaves. Now I want to take that kid. And we'll put him on a shelf over here for a little bit because I want to come back to him, okay? But Faye and I have been reading the Bible here for the last, well, since the first of the year, we've been using a Bible app, and we read several chapters of the Bible a day, and then we listen to a podcast that tells us basically what was going on in those verses. Because a lot of times, to be honest with you, I read some of the things and go, I don't understand. And so this really helps with me to understand a few things. And a couple of weeks ago, I was reading about Elijah, all right? Elijah lived about 700 years before Christ was born in Israel. And he was a prophet, one of the last few prophets of God at that time. Ahab was the king of Israel. And Ahab was not a good king. He led the people astray away from God and allowed basically his wife, Jezebel, to turn the religion of Israel into a sexual fest. They got rid of a lot of the altars that they burned sacrifices on. They tore down a lot of the tents. And it really warped the people of Israel. And God was mad about that, right? Elijah is one of the last prophets of God, a true man of God. And he tells Ahab to get all the men, all the prophets together, 450 prophets of their god that they worship by the name of Baal. And he says, I want them to offer a burnt sacrifice to Baal. build an altar, prepare the bull, but don't set it on fire. Allow God, their God, to set it on fire. And so you have these 450 prophets of Baal who build their altar, prepare the meat, and then they pray to their God, and nothing happens. Elijah starts making fun of them. You know, where's your God now? Your God's not doing anything. Where's your God? And these guys get more anxious and more upset. They start to sing and chant and dance. They get so angry after he teases them for a long time that some of them start cutting themselves, offering themselves up for a sacrifice for their God to come and take these offerings. And nothing happens. Elijah goes out and builds an altar, and he puts his sacrifice on the altar. He has people come in three different times and cover the altar with water. So the meat is dripping wet and there's a trench of water at the bottom. And he prays to God to come in and God burns the offering. And the heat is so intense that it evaporates all the water. And many of the people at that time bow down and start worshiping the true God again. And Elijah said, take these prophets and go out and kill them. All right, and so they're killed by the sword. Now, this is a lead-in to the real message, a couple scriptures I want to talk about today. Whoops, might help. I never turn my clicker off at school, so there we go. We're in 1 Kings, and we're at chapter 19. We're going to read to about to 17 or 18 today, and then we're going to read some in 2 Kings shortly. Now, Ahab was there to witness Elijah's attempt to make fun of the god Baal and the fact that his altar burned and there didn't. And Ahab's there to witness this, and he goes back to tell Jezebel. Now, Jezebel had been the leader of their religion in this area. Okay, so she's going to be very upset and very jealous. And Ahab told Jezebel what Elijah had done and also how he had executed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. So in other words, she's mad. She said, you killed them, I'm going to kill you back, right? And when he saw that, he arose and ran for his life and went to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. We've all been there, right? We get nervous about something. We're upset about something. We want to run, right? I hope none of you ever have had to run for your life, but we've all probably been there metaphorically thinking, I got to get out of this situation. I'm sure that young man I was talking about in football the other day was like that. He had had enough. It was time for him to get out, all right? But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness, and they came and sat down under a broom tree. Now, I had to look up what a broom tree was. It's just a pretty little yellow flowering plant. I don't know if maybe they use it for brooms or what. I don't know. But and he prayed that he might die and said, it is enough. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my father's. Elijah here is scared. He doesn't want to deal with this anymore. He's willing to die because he's so afraid. He said, Lord, just take me. I'm tired of dealing with this, right? Then as he lay and slept under a broom tree, suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, eat, arise and eat. Then he looked, and there by his head was cake baked on coals and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. And the angel of the Lord came back the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. So he arose and he ate and drank, and he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights as far as Horeb, the mountain of God. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in the place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? I want you to look at what God did for Elijah here. Number one, he gave him rest. He had him go to sleep. Sometimes when we're worried about things, don't they feel a lot better in the morning? Just having that rest, that time to get away, One of the things I tell kids in this generation all the time, you never rest from your problems. I was telling this young man this just the other day. You guys never get away from your problems because it's all on your phone. When many of us were in school and we had problems with somebody, we didn't get along, we went home, we did chores, we ate dinner or whatever, we went to bed, and we kind of went away from it. These kids, they're on their phones all the time, right? They're on it all the time. They never get that rest from it. And God wanted to get rest. And then he gave them food. Sometimes it just feels good after a meal, doesn't it? Especially when you're with people that you love and care about. Maybe you go out to eat and you're sitting across from each other and you're forced to talk, right? Sometimes it's easy in our lives not to talk to each other because we're so busy. I got to go here, got to go there, got to go over there. But when you go out to eat or you're sitting at the kitchen table and you're sitting there eating, you're forced to talk. When Faye and I talk the best, it's when we're out in a car, right? When we're driving someplace. Got to go for a ride. We'll go talk, right? Because everything else is distractions away from us. God gave Elijah rest, and he gave him food. He refreshed him a little bit. And then it goes on. He said, I've been very zealous of the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I am alone left, and they seek to take my life. Whoops. And then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, and behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. Suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? You know, God doesn't always come in big things, right? Sometimes he doesn't come in an earthquake or a fire or a windstorm. He comes with a gentle spoken touch. You just have to listen. I think that's a big example here, is he's asking him to listen to him. And what he does next, and we're getting into a lot of reading, so I don't want to do that. What he does next is he gives Elijah a plan. You're going to go down, you're going to face these people. And you're going to pick the next leader of Judah, the next leader of Israel, the next religious leader of our land. This guy who was about to give up was going to change Israel and bring them back to God. And all in a little whisper, God gave him food, rest, and a plan. And with that, he now gains strength. After Ahab died, his son takes over. And I'm terrible at these names, so I'm not even going to attempt. In history class, I tell kids, if I don't know the name, how to pronounce the name, we're just going to pretend and move on, all right? Those people are long dead. They'll never be upset, okay? You do the best you can, and you move on. It's not something we want to dwell on. Ahab's son takes over, and he had fell through a lattice in his house. Now, it is very customary where they live that you spend a lot of time on the roof of your house because it's so blazing hot there, right? And so they have basically living rooms and sleeping areas on their roof, and he had fallen through that and injured his leg. Sort of like somebody else I know. I have to tell this story. My wife, we had termites at our house several years ago, and in our storage area, the termites had gotten there, so we decided, we got to tear all this flooring up and rechange everything out, and she's in there helping me, and she falls right through the floor. And it's a drop-off because it's built on a hill, and she was about up to here, all right? And First thing I did was take a picture, and the second thing I did was help her get out. But luckily, she was fine, right? She didn't get cut. She didn't get injured. We didn't have to go to the hospital or anything like that. But Ahab's son is hurt, and he wants to send to people to Baal to go and get the prophets of Baal to come back and help him and pray for him. So he sends out some people to find them, but instead they find Elijah, and Elijah says, because there's no real God in Jerusalem or in Israel, you'll never get up from this bed. You'll die here. And so the messengers go back and tell him what Elijah had said. And so he sends out a captain with 50 men to go out and kill Elijah. And Elijah says, if I'm a true man of God, then fire will come down and kill all 50 men. And fire came down from God and killed the 50 men. So the king sent out 50 more men. And Elijah says the same thing, and those 50 men die. He sends out another 50 men. And if you're the third 50 men, it's like a bad joke, right? It always ends in a bad thing on the third one. And you're probably thinking, man, I don't want to go out there. The last 100 men have been killed by fire. And they come to him and say, please come down and talk to the king. And he'll eventually do it. But what happens is, because Elijah goes through turmoil, that he is able to get strength through God. He starts to believe more and more, and he knows that he's a man of God. And because God had given him rest, given him food, given him a plan, it gave him strength in God. So let's go back to this young man that we had playing football. Going to be a starter this year, one of the biggest, strongest kids on the team. Right, he just reached his breaking point. We were doing 350s. 350 is you sprint down the sideline, you sprint across the end zone, and you sprint back the other sideline, and we all have times we have to meet. And he wasn't making his times at all. All right, and he was frustrated, and he just had enough, and he left. Over the course of the next few days, I saw Elijah and his plan that God had for Elijah come forth in this young man. Head coach, Coach Reed, called him, said, come in, just talk to me. Come talk to me. So the next morning he came in and he saw that this young man looked exhausted. And he says, you look like you barely can get out of bed. What's wrong? He says, I've been up all night just thinking about this. And he says, and having troubles with mom and having troubles with the girlfriend. And I'm tired. And Coach Reed just said, hey, go home and go to bed. Go home and get rest. Found out a few days after that, one of our assistant coaches had met the young man at a restaurant the next day and just talked to him, and they had food. He had rest, and he had food. The young man came to me. A lot of the kids, many of you have been in my class, know that I teach a lot of religion, different things. I teach about Islam, the Greek gods, the Roman gods, but I also talk about Christianity. And I make it known throughout my class that I'm a Christian. This is the one I believe in. All right? I'm not here to convert you that day, but this is my faith. And so this young man came to me and started talking to me. We were down at Kenyon. We went to a football camp down at Kenyon this last Monday and Tuesday. And we go down, we stay all night Monday night down there. We have three practices on Monday for a couple hours each. Three practices on Tuesday for a couple hours each. By the time they're done, the kids are exhausted. I don't know if the kids are exhausted. I was exhausted. My feet were killing me after that on that hot artificial turf for all that time. But we're down there, and the kid come up and talked to me, and he says, I can't get away from all this. He says, my head just always spinning. And I told him, I said, get away from it. put your phone away. Who cares if people are texting you or on Facebook or whatever, TikTok, whatever you're using? Get away from it. Just go to sleep. I don't know if he did, but he looked better rested in the morning than he did that night. And so he had, in the course of time, he had one coach tell him to get rest. He had another coach take him out to eat. And he had another coach try to tell him a plan. Last Friday night, we were at practice. And I know there was another young freshman kid, freshmen sometimes get picked on, that kind of stuff. You try not to let it happen, but it does. We know that. But apparently this one had been being picked on by one of the senior boys for this week, and just randomly come up and kind of smack him in the back of the head. And the kid was getting very frustrated and wanted to quit. And the other young man that I'd been talking about had heard about it. And he saw it happen in the locker room. And he shouted the kid's name out. Now, this kid I've been talking about is a good-sized kid. He looked at him, pointed at him, said, "You're going to knock it off, and you're not going to pick on him again, or you and I are going to have problems, and it won't end well for you." The boy had rest. He had a meal. He had a plan, and it gave him strength. Strength to stand up to somebody else. When we look at the Bible, sometimes people say, "Oh, the Bible, it's just an old story." The story we read about here is 2,700 years old. It was about 700 years before Jesus was born that this story was written. But I saw this week, I saw it come to life in my life. In my life, I saw it come to life almost word for word. And it was truly amazing to see. Now, I hope that young man continues, and I hope he can get right with God, and I think he's making moves in the right direction. But kids are kids, and we need to keep praying for that young man and keep encouraging him to follow his plan. I took a class in college, one of the worst classes I ever took. It was one towards the end of my college career. It was a philosophy class. I had to get one credit of philosophy in, and I never wanted to take it because I didn't like philosophy. And so I waited until like the next to last quarter of the year. We were on quarters back then. Oh, by the way, those of you who are going to college, Rebecca, is college expensive? My first college quarter of college cost me $544. You probably can't buy books for that, can you? No. In books, yeah. What's that? That's one credit? Yeah, that was full time. That's amazing how that's changed. Where was I going before I got this distracted? I feel like Art now. I went down a rabbit trail. Sorry, Art. I took this class, this philosophy class, and I didn't really know what it was about. I just know it fit my schedule well. It was 8 o'clock in the morning, and I had to have a class then because I had to work in the afternoon. And so I took this class, and it ended up being a philosophy class where you did a lot of proofs where if this happens, then this happens, and then if this happens, then that happens. But the whole thing came down to trying to prove if there was a God. And this professor would go through all these different proofs and always come with the conclusion, there is no God. I hated that class. I tried to explain that God lives here. He said, prove it. Well, you know what? This week I proved it. I saw God's work. I saw God's word from 2,700 years ago come true in my life. And it's amazing. It's a testimony to that God can take the individual, you and I, an individual, and work it so gracefully in his plan for everyone. That's all my message for today. If you would rise with me. One thing I always said, we'll get out early, right? Although I think Art beat me about 2 weeks ago. We had a wedding to do, remember that? He was a little faster. All right, shall we pray? What's that? All right, shall we pray? Father, we thank you that you have a plan for all of us, that you can work into your minute details, our individual needs, our individual desires, and know that we have issues that only you can help. Father, we pray for this young man I've been talking about. I pray that you be with him, draw closer to him, allow him to be that leader that we know he can be, and that all his troubles that he's having with home life and girlfriends and relationships will be backseat, that he can take a few hours a day to be away from all that by being with us. And we thank you. We thank you, dear Lord, for all these people in here. We thank you for the fact that we can get together, and we ask blessings on Art and Angela. Allow them to travel safely, come home refreshed, renewed, and ready to go with a lot of energy and vigor when they get home. And we say all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.